Hey, when I watched that commercial, which has been on lately, it's been running, and I saw it for the first time. At first, I was just like freaked out, like, man, what a disrespectful little kid. Like, man. But there was something funny about it, too, at the same time. It's kind of like a role reversal happens. Like, you expect the dad to be the one to come up to the kid and teach the kid, like, these things and expect certain things from his little kid, right? But instead, it's the dad coming in being like, man, did I do well? And so we kind of laugh at that because we understand that we have changed their roles there. What we expect from the dad, we see from the son. And we understand that there's something in that, right? Like, in life, we expect things to look a certain way. Like, we understand that life is a process, and you grow up, and as a kid, you do certain things as a little kid, right? If you guys came to Firehouse tonight wearing a diaper, drinking a bottle, we'd be like, bro, what's your deal? Some of you guys are in pajamas, so I was like, what's going on? Like, you get your PJs, like, is that happening right now? But no, like, we would expect certain things of you because of your age, because of your maturity. And some of you guys, if you came in with, like, a walker, you know, like an old person, you get your dentures, and you're, like, fall in the front row, you're like, well, what's going on, right? Because we understand that different parts of life look different. And so as we're looking through this passage that we've been going through, we're looking at 1 John, right? And John writes this letter in 1 John to these people that he really wants them to understand that salvation, genuine saving faith, is something that they can know for sure. They don't have to question, they don't have to doubt, they don't have to wonder, am I really saved? Have I really believed in Jesus? He's like, look at your life, look at the fruit. I'm going to teach you a couple things. So when you wonder that, when you doubt that, you can look at these tests and kind of like look at yourself through those. And the first thing that he told them was that there should be this incredible love for God that somehow pops out in you when you truly trust in Jesus. There's this thing that happens in you as the Holy Spirit comes in you when you believe in God that he causes you to want to obey. You get this love for God that says, Lord, whatever you want from me, wherever you lead me, like, I want to go. I want to follow Jesus because he just saved me. And John says, like, if you're looking at your life and there's no change, there's no obedience, there's no difference in you, then you might want to question that. You might want to sit back and say, do I truly believe in Jesus if I have no desire at all to live like him or follow him? And then the second thing we looked at, he said that you'll start to love the people around you. If you really love God, then you're really going to love people because God loves people. The way Jesus did when he went to a cross and gave his own life for people, people that were spitting on him and swearing at him and yelling at him and hurting him, he loved them, those people. And those people, that's me and you. And so if you truly have saving faith in Jesus, a faith that says, I trust totally in you, I'm giving you all my life, Jesus, take it, it will cause you, it will compel you to love other people the way Jesus loves. And so if you're looking at your life, you're like, man, I am so hateful. I don't love other people. I don't care about anybody but myself. John would say, put that test up against yourself and see if maybe you've never truly surrendered your heart to Christ. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If you've truly believed, he will cause you to start to love other people. Remember, we said that doesn't mean he makes you perfect. You're not going to wake up one day just because you've placed your faith in Jesus. All of a sudden, the next morning, you wake up and you're like this perfect robot that never messes up. That's not going to happen. He doesn't promise that. But he does promise to continually make you better until the day that you reach heaven and you're made totally perfect. And so as we look at these tests, John kind of stops. He pauses tonight and he says something. He wants to point something about that out. And it's something that we recognize when we watch that commercial we just saw. That process of maturity, of growing, that there are people, as they get older, as they mature, that we expect different things from them. And it's the same in your spiritual walk. John stops, and we're going to read together real quick. We're in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 12. This is what John says. He says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. Then he starts again. Look, he says, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Now, right away, we notice something about this, right? John is highlighting that process we just talked about. That like deal that as you grow, you start off as a child, right? And you get older and wiser and stronger and you go through things and you learn things until eventually you end up that father, that older figure who has maturity, who's been through stuff, who's seen things. And we'd expect different things, right, from a child than we would from the father, just like in that video. And John's saying, when you grow in Jesus, there's this thing called discipleship that happens. I know that's a big word, right? And sometimes we use these big church words like discipleship. We say like grow in Jesus, walk closely with the Lord. We use all these phrases and we're like, what? How do I walk closely with the Lord? What does that look like? How do I grow in Jesus? Like, what do these phrases mean that these church people use all the time? What does that actually mean for me? How do I leave this place, go home, and do those things? What's the practical way to observe what the Bible is saying here? And John's going to show us. John stops and says, man, if you love Christ to the point where you truly have surrendered your heart and you believe in him, this thing happens in you called growth, from a child to maturity. And he starts to highlight this. And so he starts off by talking to the kids. He says, I'm writing to you little children. Now, he could have been talking to specific little children in this that he had in mind that were there where he wrote this letter, but he's also talking in a much bigger way. We could see that here. He's like talking spiritually. Like you guys who just got saved, you who have just believed, we have about 20-something of you that may or may not be here, but over the last few weeks who have accepted Jesus. You guys have just believed. You've taken your faith and said, I believe in Christ. I want Jesus to save me, to forgive me of my sin. I want to be his. He's kind of talking to that group right now. He's saying, those of you who have just recently believed in Christ to be saved, I'm writing to you. And here's why. Because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. He's saying, you haven't done anything to deserve to know Jesus. You didn't come in and all of a sudden like change your behavior, get like into your best behavior. And all of a sudden Jesus looked down and he said, oh man, you've surprised me. Wow, you're so much better. I'm going to save you today. You earned it. That doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, no matter how good you change your behavior, he says you can't. Your best works are like these dirty, disgusting rags. It's as best as we can get. And that's never good enough. So when Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm right here. I love you. I want to save you. That has nothing to do with your works. That just has to do with the fact that he looked you in the face and said, I love you. And I want to forgive you and save you. It's this thing, this big word, right? It only has 5 letters. It's called grace. Grace. And when you get saved, some of you guys have just done that. That's your first encounter with this thing called grace. Getting something that you don't deserve from Jesus. And he's highlighting here that awesome passion that you get when you first see Jesus. Like, really see him. Remember, John's talking about seeing and touching and like being around Jesus, experiencing him. Like, he lived day by day with Jesus. Remember, that's the whole point of this book? So we can experience Jesus in a real way. Not some churchy way that we use big words, but in a real life way. And so what he's saying is that, man, think about how a little kid looks at something for the first time. Remember the first time you saw something like totally awesome, it just blew your mind? That's that cool passion that these children that he's talking about have. Now, I remember I was over sitting at MICS one day. This is a couple years back. And I'm sitting outside of the chapel over there just chilling. I think I was like reading my Bible or just getting away from students at that point, just being alone. And a little, like a class of elementary kids, I have no clue how old they are. I just know how tall they were. They were like this, maybe-ish. So they were really, really young. And so they're coming by, and I noticed two things. First of all, elementary kids coming from PE smell so bad. It's terrible. It reeks. It's the worst smell. But second is that this little kid that was walking by, like the last little boy was like lingering, and his teacher was kind of like scooting him in, but he was too busy looking everywhere. He was just like, and so he's falling behind, and she's like, come on, hurry up. And he stops, And he looks right up at his teacher and he says this. He asks her, he says, "Is this where Jesus lives?" And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, I'm just sitting there in my, I looked right up like, bro, like, it's such a like kid thing to say. Is this where Jesus lives? That's hilarious. But the real answer would be what? He lives in you. If you believed in him, yes, absolutely. Because there's believers here meeting together, worshiping. So yes, Jesus lives here. But with this childlike excitement, this kid looks up. He's like, is this it? Finally, are we going to see Jesus? And it just like sparked this thing in me like, man, I want to continue to desire Jesus and desire to see Jesus the way this little kid did. Yeah, he was a little kid. He didn't totally get all the details. But his passion, his excitement to put eyes on Jesus, man, I want that. And that's an awesome passion for us to continue to have as we believe in Christ. So how do you grow in your faith? Want Jesus like a little kid. Every day when you wake up, every word that you say, everything that you do, desire Jesus the way that little kid desires to see Jesus. Not just like desire Bible study or desire to go to church or to desire to be a good person. But in all of that, first and foremost, desire Jesus. Want him that much. And then all of a sudden, this thing called growth is going to just, it can't help but happen in you because you will be on a search. You will be on a mission to find the face of Jesus every day when you wake up. And you can't help but grow because you desire him like that little kid. And then he says this. He goes from little kids. He jumps right to fathers. He says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. That's a big jump, right? From little kid all of a sudden to like the old dude. Like if you're talking about a process, you skipped a step, right? And so what he's trying to do is say, like, you start here with this innocence that's really powerful. Want Jesus more than everything and never lose that on the journey. It's the most important piece. And then he says, but as you get there, you're going to more than just, like, meet him, more than just find out who Jesus is, you're going to know Jesus. So the goal isn't to just stay there. The goal isn't to just say, yeah, I met him once. I got saved. I raised my hand. I was so excited about Jesus. And then that was it. I had a really cool time. Like there was this pastor that told some stories. There was this band and there was like lights and it was like really cool. Lots of people around. And I raised my hand. It was this cool moment. But I never grew. It never went past that point. And John is saying that we grow from that. Like, take that passion and grow to the point of being a father. And look what he says about the fathers. He says that they know him who is from the beginning. And that word know means like intimately. The way you guys know each other. Think about your best friend. Okay, picture your best friend. How well do you know your best friend? You don't just like recognize their name if you saw it on a piece of paper, right? You didn't just meet your best friend for the first time. You know that if you hang out with this person, that dude is going to flick your ears all the time, right? Tell the corniest jokes ever. You're going to have to put up with, but he's a really nice guy. He's be faithful to the end, right? You know those things about him. You know those things about her. Like the personality, their desires, their passions, their ambitions, you know them. There's this intimacy in knowing, and that only comes through spending time with that person. Think about your best friends. I think you guys are old enough to understand this. A lot of times, especially when you get my age, like your best friends as you look back are the people that you've been through hard times with. The people that when you were most heartbroken, that best friend shows up and is there for you. That's the type of intimacy John's talking about. You meet Jesus and you start to go through things and Jesus is just like, I'm here for you. Wait a minute. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And every time you look up, you're like, he's always here for me. And it builds this trust in your heart that says, no matter what I'm going through, no matter even the moments where I think he's gone and can't see him and doubt him, he proves me wrong every time. He's there every time. Why would I not trust somebody who always catches me every single time I fall? And that's what fathers know about Jesus. That's what these fathers know about the one who is so constant and so faithful. He is from the beginning, it says. We can always trust. But it's this process, right? And so look at what this next group of people is that he says. He says, I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil one. So he goes from children, he jumps all the way over here to these old dudes, right? Father, spiritually. And he's like, but here's how you get there. And it goes right back to the middle. It says, you young men, you guys who are in the middle of this battle, look at what he says about them. He says, you've overcome the evil one. You guys are in a fight. You guys are in a battle every single day. From the day you met Jesus and had this awesome excitement in you and passion for him, Satan started to attack you. Satan started to surround you with friends that were trying their best to drag you into the things of the world and to distract you from what Jesus would have you do. Satan wants to surround you with media and music and movies and all these things that are going to filter through your brain to tell you, don't fight the good fight. Live how you want to live. Remember, that's what John was dealing with in this book. These people that said, I could sin all I want. And John says, I'm writing to you so you don't sin. That was the point of this letter. I don't want you to sin. And so when he says you overcome the evil one, this is weighted with chapter one, right? And he's saying, listen, there will be battles. There will be people trying to tell you not to have that much faith, not to care that much about Jesus, not to go to church so much, not to serve so much. Come do these things instead. And every time, Jesus is stepping in, and you have a choice now. Do I trust Jesus? Do I say yes to Jesus and no to sin, or do I just pick my flesh and go after that? And that's where the rubber meets the road. I want to talk about walking closely with Jesus. I want to talk about growing in your faith. All these big words, we can't really picture what that really means. That's it. That moment that as you step into a situation and sin goes, here I am. Pick me. And you look to your right and Jesus says, I'm here like I always am. In that moment, you're making a choice. Will I depend and trust on Jesus and the Holy Spirit in me to do what's right? Or will I choose sin? And as you choose Jesus, you take that step. That's the walk he's talking about. Walk closely with me. Take a step. Choose me each time. When you're alone sitting in front of the computer and you could look at literally anything you want to look at and that temptation comes into your mind to go to filth and Jesus says, what are you doing? You could take a step. You could choose Jesus. You say, I want to take that step closer to you because now I'm trusting in Jesus instead of myself. I'm loving Jesus more than my sin. As I'm invited to that place I know I shouldn't go to, and I'm standing there with these friends that are like, it's going to be awesome, come, but I know it's just going to lead me into sin, and I have to make a choice. That's walking closer to Jesus when I take that step and say, no, I'm choosing Jesus. And now my faith grows because I trust Jesus more than I trust myself. And that's what he's talking about with these young men. You're taking steps when your heart's broken. When you lose that person in your life to cancer, or your best friend breaks your heart, when your family gets messed up, and those moments where you have to make a choice, will I choose Jesus here? Will I trust him to get me through this, or will I look for other ways to fill the pain? You're taking a step. You're walking closer to Jesus. You see, John's telling us that what you do does matter. It does matter. It's not just his first child. Faith that's really awesome and should stay the focus of your growth. But he's saying now there are real life steps that you can do every day called discipleship that helps you grow closer to Jesus every time you choose Jesus over yourself and over the world. And then he starts over. He's like, I really want to make this clear. I really want to be emphatic about what this thing is, this process. So he says, I'm going to go back to the kids for a second. He says, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Wait a minute. This no is a different no. This is the idea that, have you ever seen a little kid for the first time ever? Like, you ever talk to a little kid about their dad? You ever be like, when you were a little kid, what did you think about your dad? Like, I would always get in a fight with my best friend who was my next neighbor. Our dads were like best friends. They worked together. They did like all the same stuff. They both had trucks, like the whole deal. And it was always this fight of, my dad's truck's bigger than your dad. No, my dad's truck's bigger than your, what are you saying? You know, like, my dad's stronger than your dad. Like, no, my dad would totally take your dad. Like, it was always this battle between us about our fathers and whose father was better, because it was like, you could tell the story of Superman. You could tell me about the President of the United States. You could tell me about this like Navy SEAL who saves the world. I wouldn't care. My dad was better when I was a little kid. All I cared about was my dad. He was the hero. And it's that idea here. These little kids, when you talk to them spiritually, when you talk to a spiritual child, someone who's just recently accepted Christ, this new passion in their heart, it's like, man, I just want Jesus. I just want Jesus above all. And he commends them for that awesome passion that they have. They know Jesus. And then he goes to fathers, compared to this. I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. Wait, he just said that. He like repeats this awesome phrase over and over again. It's so important to not just know the name of Jesus. Discipleship is not just being able to say the name of Jesus. It's not just about those passionate moments. Growing in Jesus is about intimately having a day-by-day relationship with your Savior. And it doesn't get old tomorrow. Because when you wake up, you have that same passion that says, Jesus, renew me today. Stepped on some buttons up here. Sorry, I don't know what I did. Check them before you play. Renew me today. Let me wake up and see your face again. Make me stronger. As I go through things that I know I'll go through today, the people that are going to say certain things and I'm just expecting them to say it, Jesus, will you guard my words? Will you guard me from rolling my eyes? Will you guard me from wanting revenge? Will you guard me from these things that I can display Jesus and choose him instead of my own flesh? And now I'm taking a step. I'm taking a step to know you better. Just know about you, but intimately know you. And then he talks about the journey one more time, and he says, I write to you, young men, because you're strong. And not because they had been strong from the beginning, but they had from somewhere gotten this strength. And he tells us where. He says, and the word of God abides in you. Well, that's where their strength came from. The word of God, the truth of who God is, abided in them. So that every single day they're waking up and they're facing situations, and you know what happens? They're not looking at it. I do. I know what God's word says. I know what I should do here because I studied the word of God. And so here's the big point of this. You can't do discipleship without the word of God. The more you know God, the deeper you grow in him. But you can't just wake up and be like, all right, let's just have these emotional experiences every day. And if we worship enough and loud enough and excited enough, I'll grow so deep in Jesus. Although those things are awesome, and I hope those things for us, the growth comes when the truth of God's word causes me to worship like that. You see, the truth of God's word comes in and says, listen, here's what you should do when that friend invites you over to do that. Here's what you should do in the situation when that person just crushes your heart. Now we have life and the tests and the trials that come, and we're like, I know what to do because I've studied God's word. And God's word helped me grow. It took that passion I had when I opened my eyes, and there's Jesus died for me and loves me and my sin. And God's word set and says, I'm going to go deep. I'm going to go deep with you now. I'm going to show you just how incredible God really is. And you haven't even caught a glimpse yet. As a matter of fact, the Bible promises us to spend eternity like opening our eyes every second going, whoa, whoa. I feel like we're all just walk around and be like, whoa, whoa, all the time because he's that awesome. He's that big and he's that deep, right? We'll never be bored with him because his, well, the Bible says, can't even say it. The Bible says, right? He's that big, he's that deep, he's that incredible. And that's how you grow. Know deeper, grow deeper. right? That's what I titled this tonight. Know deeper, know God better, more deeply. And you will grow deeper in him. It's this awesome process that he takes us through. And here's the reality of it, the practical side. You could practice this every day. As you study God's word, as you wake up and you get in his word, and you apply it that day. As you study about who he is, how he's patient, and you practice patience, you become more like him. Now, it's not the deal where you're trying to please him and like do all these things on a checklist and behave a certain way to make God happy with you. It's this outflow of that childlike love that he put in you. Because I love you so much, I want to find you. I want to run after you. And I do that by obeying you because I've been in your word. Some of us think like, man, I can grow in Jesus and never open the Bible. I can grow in Jesus and not care about like being in life groups and studying with other people. Well, that's just not true. John says it's just not true. Because that is a result of knowing God's word to the point where you can say, that's who you are. God, that's who you are. And that's what his Bible's about. Allowing you to get to know him better so you can grow in a relationship, a deep relationship with him. There is a thing going on in our church. I don't know if you guys have heard yet. Justin mentioned at the beginning, called the First Initiative. And what the First Initiative means is that before time began, Jesus started a mission, and it was to bring you into a relationship with him. And we're joining in that first mission, that first initiative that Jesus started a long time ago. We're jumping on board as a church to say we are serious about the mission of Jesus. Not just here at Firehouse, but like our entire church is saying, we believe that we should be living hard for Jesus. And it shows up in three big areas, right? In serving, the way we serve one another. John just said that last week, right? The way we love each other shows that we're serious about it. So serving, and also in the way we give. We sacrificially give. And also sharing. I desire that people know the same Jesus that saved me. I want these people to have eternal life and forgiveness the way he's done for me. So serving, serving, sharing, and giving are the three like main focuses. And this coming week, we're going to be having a week of prayer and fasting. Some of you guys are like, what's that? Like you run real fast? Like fasting is when you give something up on purpose to spend that time focusing on Jesus. And so fasting could look a lot of different ways. Usually it looks like I'm going to give up food for a week. You're like, what? I'm not going to eat for a week. Look at me, right? I can do it, right? You guys can do it. But it's like you could say, I'm not going to be on my phone. This thing takes up most of my time. I'm texting. I'm on YouTube. I'm like all these things. I'm going to just not have my phone for a week. I'm going to fast from my phone. That scared you more than the food. I saw your faces. You're like, I'd rather not eat than lose my phone, right? Whatever it might be, the thing that distracts you. And you take that and you set it aside and say, I'm going to spend that time instead in prayer. And I'm going to beg God that he do something really big. And so our church believes that what we're talking about, this first initiative, is so big, we can't do it. Right? We sound crazy, don't we? Like, we know we can't do it, but we know God can. And so we're going to spend a week, this coming up week, in prayer and fasting, begging God to do it. And I want to invite you guys into that. I think Firehouse, we're part of this church. You guys are younger, but you are just as much the church. And so I want to encourage us as a group. If you guys want to, first of all, talk to your parents. Please don't just go a week without eating, without asking and talking to your parents about it. And maybe they'll direct you to something else that you would fast from. But however God leads you to participate in this in that way, speak to them, okay? And then second, our Firehouse app has these little hands on it. They're like praying hands. And it says prayer and fasting, I think, under it. Click on that on the app. And it's going to explain more about fasting and prayer. And there's the 7 days that we're going to be fasting together. And if you click on each one of those days, it has a couple verses for you to read so you can focus that day. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to help you take that step. This thing we're talking about, discipleship and growing with Jesus. You wake up and you open the word so it abides in your heart. And you take that step and you pray and say, God, will you do this in me? God, will you make me more like that today? And so there are 7 days set aside where we will fast and we will read those and pray together. We're praying the same things, and we're fasting together for a week, and we're going to beg God, will you do this in us? Will you make us people that want to serve, give, and share together to carry on the mission of Jesus? I want to invite you guys into that. So if you don't have the app, download it so you guys can follow along with us in that. All right? Will you guys close your eyes and bow your heads for just a second as we close? There's a lot of things that we do here at Firehouse because we believe in what John just talked about. This thing called discipleship, a big word, growing in Jesus. And you guys have already heard about a lot of them. There are reasons why we do things. We don't just do activities because they're fun. We love fun. But we do them because we believe God's using that to help us grow. Or the Firehouse Feast we've been talking about. What an awesome way to learn how to share. We invite people that don't know Jesus to a home and we eat with them and we become their friend and we share our faith with them. Even things like smashing pumpkins that we're going to do. What an awesome way to invite people into this gathering so they can hear the gospel of Jesus. We do Mission Trip Merritt Island so you guys can come and be a part of that and serve our community, homeless people that have nothing to eat. And so all these different activities you hear us talking about are specifically so that we can help you walk next to you and grow with you. I want to encourage you guys to be a part of those things. Seriously consider saying, man, I haven't been super involved in Firehouse at this point. I show up sometimes. But maybe tonight God's saying, hey, I want you to take the next step. Join this group of people. Because here's the last thing I want you to see from the passage. Every word he used there was a family word. Child, father, young people. He's describing these relationships. You grow best when you're surrounded by the body of Jesus. Other people that believe in Jesus. That's why we do life groups. And so I want to challenge you. If you're that person, like tonight, I want to commit to be more involved in that. Tonight, I want to say, Jesus, I want to grow. And not just talk about growing. I literally want to take that next step tomorrow when I wake up or tonight when I walk out of this room. I want to take a step and say, Jesus, tonight I want to be closer to you. Tonight I want to believe more in you and practice the things that you're telling me. If that's you and you have that courage to say, like, I want to take that step and be more committed in that way, I want to pray for you because I need prayer when I make commitments. I hope you guys pray for me. I need you guys to pray for me every day. Beg God that he would keep me pure. Beg God that he would allow me to lead. Will you pray for me? And I want to pray for you. So if that's you and say, I want to make that commitment, can you just raise your hand up so I can see your hand? Like, especially those of you who have just recently accepted Jesus. I'm ready to jump in full. I want to go all the way. You just raise your hand up so we can see that and I can pray for you. I want to be committed. I'm ready to take next steps. Thank you guys for raising your hands. I see them. And maybe there's some of you guys tonight, you guys could put your hands down. Maybe there's some of you guys tonight and you've never met Jesus still. And you've been hearing us talk about it and sing about it for weeks now. And you just haven't taken that step to say, I need him to forgive me. I need him to love me. I'm here to tell you tonight, he does love you. And he does forgive you. He's waiting for you to accept that free gift tonight. If that's you, will you slide your hand up in the air so I can see you and pray for you? Like, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to be saved and forgiven tonight. Tonight's the night. Jesus, forgive my sin. Save me. Will you just raise your hand up so we can know that and pray for you? I'm going to ask some leaders. You guys keep your hands up. I'm going to ask some leaders to just kind of look and see who you are. And I'm going to ask them to meet you after this as you walk out and just have a conversation and ask you about that, all right? And pray with you. You guys pray with me. Father God, we love you so much, and I thank you for the commitments that you're causing in our hearts, God. It's something only you can do. We know it. We can't do it without you. So we thank you. Jesus, thank you for loving us first. Help us to take those next steps. Help us tonight for those who said, I want to be serious about this and grow. I'm ready to take next steps. Will you do that in us? Will you bring the right people around us to help us do that step by step, choosing you over sin? And for those who raise their hands because they want to know you as their Savior, God, will you help show them that? As they have these conversations after this, God, will you put courage in them to understand your gospel, to understand what you've done for them? God, we pray for their salvation, Lord. Father, we pray that you're glorified in this last song as we come together to worship. Will you hear our hearts cry out how good you are and how much we love you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.